We tend to find meaning in every detail of our lives, especially when it comes to your relationship. This meaning making is great when your sweetheart gives you a kiss hello and you make that mean that they're glad to see you. But this meaning making sucks when you see the messy kitchen and you think, my sweetheart doesn't love me or they would have cleaned this up. I want to offer you a warning. Today's episode includes a repetition of a word that may not be suitable for young ears. If you're listening with your little one, consider earbuds or waiting for a later time. Welcome to Habits for Your Happily Ever After, where we get clear about your marriage communication. Because when your relationships are strong, you're able to concentrate at work, reduce conflict at home, and receive support for your dreams, so that you have the courage to live your best life. I'm Rebecca Mullen, a relationship coach living in Western Colorado, and today we discuss shit sandwiches and how they can pollute your relationship. I'll define the term and help you see why they're unavoidable to some degree. Next, I'll give you the reasons you wish your sweetheart would eat those that really belong to you. And third, I'll give you a date night discussion to help you and your sweetheart identify the shit sandwiches in your relationship, as well as a habit to help you make them go down easier. How do you and your sweetheart share the ick that comes with living life? Your kitchen gets messy over and over. There's banking details to handle. Your kid needs a ride again. You feel like you're always dealing with the ick, the minutiae, the trivia of life, and your sweetheart never does their fair share. This causes conflict because when it's icky, no one wants to do it. So you both procrastinate. Then you neglect the ick, finally blame enters the game, and you hear yourself shouting at your sweetheart, "You never clean the kitchen!" You're tired of all kinds of things. You're tired determining roles for who does what. You're tired asking simply. You've tried asking super cleanly for what you want. Still, the kitchen is a mess. What happens next time is why these icky things are so important to deal with, because we tend to find meaning in every sensual detail of our lives. This meaning making is great when your sweetheart gives you a kiss hello and you make that mean they're glad to see you, but this meaning making sucks when you see the messy kitchen and you think, my sweetheart doesn't love me. We've all done it, right? We make those neglecting the ick moments mean so much about the health of our relationship. Why do we do that? I'm going to answer this in just a moment, but it will make it easier for me to talk about that if I first tell you a story so you know what I mean when I call these moments shit sandwiches. Liz Gilbert, who wrote the book Eat, Pray, Love, also wrote a book called Big Magic. In that book, she tells the story of how she knew she was destined to be a writer. She was sitting across the table from a colleague who was complaining about reaching out to agents and following up with publishers, and she felt herself say, I'll do that. I'll take that job. Liz Gilbert didn't love reaching out to agents and publishers either, but she saw it as a necessary task to get the thing she did want, a life as a writer. She calls these sorts of tasks shit sandwiches because you want the bread of the career, but that career comes with some unpleasant fillings. A shit sandwich. I love the term because it describes so much of life. We want to eat healthy, so we eat the shit sandwich of shopping carefully for clean ingredients. We want a beautiful home, so we eat the shit sandwich of cleaning the kitchen. The life we want often includes a few shit sandwiches. That's just how it is. But then we take this leap. If you loved me, you'd eat my shit sandwiches for me. Why do we do this? Here's my two cents. If you were lucky enough to be loved by a parent who cleaned up your toys over and over or made you dinner after dinner for years, your first understanding of love is the person who loves me eats my shit sandwiches. Your map of love comes from your parents. We enter our marriage while still sort of following this map. Oh, if you love me, you'll eat my shit sandwiches for me. Conversely, if you don't eat my shit sandwiches, you must not love me. You can see the difference between parental love and marital love, right? It's not fair to ask our sweetheart to eat all or even most of our shit sandwiches. And yet, that is the map we were given. Life is full of shit sandwiches. Don't make your sweetheart eat too many shit sandwiches. And don't eat up the shit sandwiches for your relationship all by yourself. Bottom line, share the shit sandwiches. So there's power just in naming what those shit sandwiches are in your life. One of the things I find fascinating is that everyone feels differently about different tasks. My friend hates grocery stores. I love grocery shopping. As soon as I discovered the grocery store was her number one shit sandwich, I began to tell her when I was headed to the store, "What can I pick up for you?" Often, she'd have a snack waiting for me when I dropped off her groceries because she discovered that one of my shit sandwiches was unpacking groceries when I'm hungry. I got to do her a favor. She fed me so I had energy to go home and put my own groceries away. When you name your shit sandwich, occasionally your sweetheart will say, "Oh, I don't mind doing that." And voila, a match made in heaven. When my husband found out buying airline tickets was one of my shit sandwiches, he offered to do it for me. When you and your sweetheart get used to naming your shit sandwiches, one of the secrets you might uncover is that your shit sandwich isn't so bad tasting to your sweetheart, and they're happy to help you out. But not every shit sandwich can be traded. There are plenty of shit sandwiches that none of us wants to eat. I'm still in favor of naming them. Because sometimes you just need to announce, "I'm eating a shit sandwich over here right now." It just helps to vocalize the ick. Side benefit, then your sweetheart knows. They can offer you a back rub later that evening or simply say, "Oh, poor you, you're eating a second shit sandwich today." Sometimes we just need the world, and really, I mean our sweetheart, to know that we're doing something hard. Which brings up a great thing you can do for your sweetheart when they're eating a shit sandwich. You can be there for them. When I need to eat a tough shit sandwich, like read a contract to buy a house, this is the shit sandwich I eat because my husband hates it, I just ask my husband if he'll sit next to me. Just having his company, even though he's busy checking his phone, helps me navigate the shit sandwich better. Next, find a way to make the shit sandwich better. Another way to make the shit sandwiches in life more palatable is to really, really tell yourself the reason it's worth it to eat this sandwich. For Liz Gilbert, she wanted more than anything to be a writer, so the task of contacting agents just became something she did on the way to being a writer. Simon Sinek would say this is about finding your why. He has a great TED Talk about when you know your why for doing something, it makes those shit sandwiches so much easier to eat. Let's take a list of possible shit sandwiches and improve them by getting really, really clear why we want to eat them. Budgeting. For some people, budgeting is a shit sandwich. Money is a subject fraught with angst, so anything to do with banking is a shitty, shitty business. But let's look at why budgeting might taste good. You love the feeling of being in control financially. It's a great feeling when you can buy those new pants you love for cash rather than putting them on a credit card, right? So the shit sandwich that goes with the lovely feeling of paying cash for the fabulous pants is being mindful at the grocery store about what you're spending. When you come out of the grocery store and you've stayed within your budget, take time to notice how good that feels. As you're wheeling your groceries to the car, give yourself a little pep talk. "Hey, thanks, Rebecca, for choosing the less expensive coffee. Feels good to be in control financially." Let's look at another one. Give your child choices. If you have a toddler, you are constantly juggling your toddler's desires with what is healthy for that child. Consequently, you might be offering a plethora of choices every single day. This can be a shitty sandwich simply because it's overwhelming choice after choice after choice. But let's remember why it matters. You are trying to raise a wonderful grown-up. In order to raise a wonderful grown-up, you need to teach this little toddler how to see the bigger picture. You want to help this sweet little person find intrinsic desire for the things that make them healthy. So you talk with your toddler. I know you don't want to take a nap right now, but do you notice how grumpy you're feeling? It doesn't feel good to be grumpy. So when we're grumpy, we take a rest. Would you like to take your nap with your bear or your lammy? Finding these arbitrary choices, bear or lammy, all day long so that your toddler feels the power to choose as they do the thing that will help them feel better, lays the stage for later in life when your child is navigating their own shit sandwiches. But finding those choices is exhausting when you're a parent. It's a shit sandwich that goes with parenting. You might not feel the consequences of this choice for years. So it helps to notice yourself today. Hey, Rebecca, you're doing a fabulous job offering so many choices to this toddler. This kiddo is lucky to have you because you're teaching them to notice their own needs and desires. Well done, you. These are examples of adulting. When your parents were raising you and teaching you about the map of love, they ate the shit sandwiches for you. If you were lucky, that is. Your parents struggled with money so many times that they realized budgeting was a shit sandwich they wanted to eat. Your parents gave you choices as a toddler because they wanted you to one day be able to identify the shit sandwiches in your own life and help yourself come up with strategies to get those shit sandwiches into your daily routine. Every time you eat a shit sandwich and you focus, not on the ick, but rather on the reason you're doing this onerous task, you will begin to pair that task with the lovely thing you want. This is what happens for many people with exercise. At first, it's so hard to head out the door to take a run, but after months of noticing, truly noticing, how good you feel after that long run, you actually begin to look forward to the run itself. This is the magic of turning shit sandwiches into the perfect sandwich for you. By the way, what is the perfect sandwich for you? And now I'm talking about one of those delicious sandwiches you really do want to eat for lunch or for dinner. I love sandwiches so much. For me, like everything in life, it's all about the sauce. I love horseradish or mayonnaise or a good beer mustard. How about you? What's your favorite sandwich? And most importantly, what's your least favorite shit sandwich? We've arrived at our date night discussion. What's the three worst shit sandwiches you eat in your life? Sometimes it's just good to know the shit sandwiches in your sweetheart's life because there might come a moment when you can help them avoid eating one. And man, does that send love your sweetheart's direction. It also just helps to know each other's shit sandwiches so that when you watch somebody eating one, you can go, oh, wow, thanks for doing that. Thanks for taking one for the team. So today, chat with your sweetheart. First, explain the idea of the shit sandwich. Next, tell them about your three worst shit sandwiches, and then ask them, what are your three worst shit sandwiches? You might not do anything with the information, but it's nice to know, and it's nice to be known. Thanks for listening to my podcast. I want to just take a quick break here to ask you if you would take a moment and send this podcast to a friend. Word of mouth keeps this podcast growing, which keeps me here talking with you. This week's habit for your happily ever after is to practice how to handle the shit sandwiches in your relationship so you deepen your connection rather than pollute your relationship by unknowingly dumping those sandwiches in your sweetheart's lap. Here's three ideas for how to handle shit sandwiches in your own life or in the life of your relationship. practice one of the habits, or you can try all three. Number one, reframe. When you can reframe the shit sandwich as just something unpleasant you do on the way to something you really want, it's not so bad. A great tool to help you reframe is to ask, why am I doing this? Once you find your why, focus on it. The bigger you make your why, the less icky your sandwich becomes, because you see the reason for the yucky taste. Habit number two, say thank you. The next way to deal with a shit sandwich is when you see your sweetheart eating one, thank them or somehow acknowledge the unpleasant task. It's amazing how much it helps to have someone nearby cheering you on when you're doing something you don't really want to do. And number three is to take one for the team. The number three habit that will really win you points in your relationship is to actually take a shit sandwich off your sweetheart's plate. Do it for them and let them know. I know you hate buying plane tickets, so I will happily do that for you. Or if you can't do the task, you can simply sit next to your sweetheart as they do it. Your companionship really helps. Okay, it's your turn. You know I always love being included in your life, so shoot me a text or leave me a voicemail to tell me what are the shit sandwiches at your house. I think it would be fun to have some of those collected for a future episode. My phone number is 970-210-4480. I would also really love to know what your favorite real sandwich is. Do you agree with me that the sauce is the most important element? That's it for today. I'm Rebecca Mullen, and this has been Habits for Your Happily Ever After, where we get clear about your marriage communication. Because when your relationships are strong, you're better able to concentrate at work, reduce conflict at home, and receive support for your dreams, so you can have the courage to live your best life. If you enjoyed this podcast, I'd be grateful if you'd send a link to your friend. Habits for Your Happily Ever After is produced by Grace Smith. All our music and sound comes from Walk West Productions. I'm Rebecca Mullen. Thanks for including me in your relationship today.